We date the tape again. This is December the 10th, 1995. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. I come in light. You're wonderful. I don't tell you often enough how wonderful you are. When the need is there, you always do it. And I thank you. The Sullivans have come a long way to pitch in and do a miserable job that has to be done. And yet I think everyone will remember it as a joyful time, because this is what we're about. And sometimes it's a little sad that you aren't able to have some kind of a communal relationship that other groups seem to be afforded. And yet friendship rises above everything. And beyond that, God. And this reminds me that God is abundance, and it should be joyful. Happy is nice. Joy is wonderful. And in the dance of joy do we find our relationship with God. And each thing that we set our hands to then becomes a work of fun. Not necessarily easy, but pleasurable in the fact that we accomplish it and we feel good about what we've done. And I don't really have any other way to thank you except through others' hands. And I have some pretty good sports along the way that do those labors. Charles works into the night every night, making sure we have an abundance of colloids. And I could help him a little bit with that, but we never seem to get time. But I would say that he won't have as much fallout, short out of the particles, if he slows down a bit and reduces the amount. Because when you then finally bottle it, you don't know what's happening to it. In those trucks where they ship, anyone going through any kind of an X-ray device, and you are subjected to every kind of pulse wave there is, can short out those gold particles and clump them, and then they'll just fall out of solution. Ones can shake up the solution and it works just fine, but if you're going to do that, don't overdo it, because then you are producing the metallic particulate and it will move around and it will work just fine, but it will not be as stable. If you take Yandriana, you're not going to have any problem with it anyway, because when it hits your body, your cellular structures are such that it will just take it in whatever kind of particulate you put in there. You will notice the way Yandriana actually eats this, takes the gold particles and turns it from purple into transparent. It's breaking it down into its, not its molecular, but its atomic form. Yandriana will change molecular gold into monoatomic gold. And it's the heart of your cell. It is what facilitates the ability of the DNA to function. The reason that you are having such trouble with these diseases coming along is the alteration that can literally change in the atmosphere, in the air, from one virus gene to another. So we're going to talk about that today, but I want ones who actually need to be somewhere else to feel free to go. I have to get some of this onto tape. We've got some people dying around this country, and I'm not talking about in general. I'm talking about some specific ones that if I can't get more information, and now we've gotten the material to these people. But we have to watch it because one is so, so on the edge. And they have not dared do what was done with one of our West Virginia friends who just got it. His wife got it. He brought it into the hospital and he said, "You can either discharge me now or you can wait and let me see what this is going to do and I'll run a control for you." And in 2 days, they had to discharge him because he was well. Now, this is as close to death as you can get. And to treat these kinds of things where you are everywhere, you are punctured for one more thing they do to you, and you get raging boils and flesh-eating bacteria, you are in serious, serious trouble. So I'm going to require that we bore you today with information on these things because I must have it onto the tape. There is a good outlay that came in your newest Popular Science. I hope I have the right periodical. I want to give credit. But it is so absurd that it boggles the mind. And these people talk about the naivety of other people. I cannot believe how naive ones are that are there writing on the subject. Everything comes from somewhere else. You know, you've got to worry about the tiger mosquito being imported in swashy tires. What's wrong with you? These things are started in your own laboratories. Why do you blame Asia or Africa? Except that the New World Order and the World Health Organization can go over and murder those people without anybody taking notice. It has to be addressed because vancomycin has now genetically changed and the strains of virus and bacteria that it would handle. Remember, bacteria have the capability of carrying their own virus. Viruses are crystalline substances which change at a whim and can be genetically altered easily. Easily. And they weren't really concerned about us because, after all, they knew they would have to have, that all of you would have to have something that would knock out a titanium molecule. And they don't really have anything that will do it unless they go into a platinum or iridium molecule. They can even go to a tritium molecule. And we can still get it knocked out with just what we're doing. But it makes for a very tedious process, a very expensive process. Expensive because to get what we do get requires sparking. And that ruins, you know, it will knock off more gold particles than will go into solution. But that can be altered. It's more time consuming, but it doesn't have to be watched so closely. And I'm not going to talk about it on here because I get a flood of letters. Tell us how to do it. Tell us how to do it. No, I am not going to tell you how to do it. One's of you, less is one, who does a very good job right in his own little cubbyhole of playing with these things. And he's producing some good stuff. I am not going to tell you what we do. I am not going to have any of you going out there and getting us in trouble with the law. We don't practice medicine. And we don't have any new wonder drugs. And people get very, very careless. If anybody heals, it's because they have what it takes and the tools. They're willing to use the tools. And they're willing to heal themselves. And this other precious person in Texas, I have to really worry about her because she takes the load of the world upon her. and she is beating herself to death to assume the suffering of other people. Knock it off. You don't have any right to suffer for other people's errors and sins. That is not worthy of people who are willing to live, for goodness sakes, to get us through this time. Please. The hardest thing you ones are going to ever have to do is walk on through to do your job rather than get so sidetracked that you kill yourself off. It is not all right to die. Not while you're in my crew. And yet a lot of times what has been done to you makes living unworthy of the word. And when that happens, you may as well make transition where you can again be useful without that shackle. And I know that it sounds pretty hard for me just to, listen to him speak of death like this. What? If you think this is impractical, hard, or harsh, wait. This is a year that evil is going to rise against evil, remember? This is in the Hopi prophecies, if nothing else. And it started. And yes, sir, we can just ease right through it. But we have to be prepared for whatever the ocean sloshes our way. And we have a job. And that may very well be to get you from here to up there, out there, somewhere, over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly. Have you ever heard such BS? And if they fly over the rainbow, why can't you? Well, let's go for the stars. I'm not interested in flying over your earthbound rainbow. And yet I can appreciate the rainbow. It's getting down to the hard part. And I don't like scaring you. That's not true. I don't want to build fear, especially in any of you. Scare you? I hope so. It's scary time. You are falling apart economically. The clash of the titans has begun. And they don't care who they hurt. And their plan is for depopulation. And those are your babies they're talking about. It's you they're talking about. And yet you need to go on living, don't you? Day to day to day to day. And you need times like this where you can sit and be sociably in interchange. And remember that there's joy. And I'm humbly grateful. I cherish you and I'm humbly grateful that you would have come. And especially Greg and Debbie, all this way to see to it that that house got painted. We have to take one step at a time. We're working toward getting you a tractor that will be worthy of its name, tractor. And yet you can't do anything until you have moisture. And right now, the most wonderful thing that can be done for the farm in view of what has already been undone to the farm is to do exactly what is taking place. And that is one of the neighbors has come over, repaired fences, and brought his cows to feed on all of that foodstuffs. And therefore, it's parked, it's being used, and he's being cared for. And I believe that everybody who was out there yesterday would be in a state of shock to see the difference in just old Spud. That is something that you should hold in your heart as one of those miracles. This dog hated everybody. Bit everybody. And he could not get enough love from everybody yesterday. God's got his hand stirring in your pot all the time. In fact, sometimes you can't get us out of your pot, can we, Dorma? Must you help? Well, sometimes I need to help, especially when I see that she's doing it wrong. But don't tell a woman that in her kitchen. It's not wise. Well, you have a point. Would anybody like to ask questions or anything before we get off into this other? It's really important. I don't want to hold anyone who needs. It's a long journey out to Yucca Valley. Anybody want to make some statements? Do we dare hear about lawsuits? Before John attacks Gene, I would like to run an idea through you. And that is, please consider the possibility of John bringing his own improper suit against George Abbott. It might get that whole thing off its dime. And Gene's going to teach all of you to do improper litigation. We don't care. We can run over him more easily if he's on his back.
Before I get us started on the lawsuits, I wonder if we could ask Paul to relate to us the conversation that he had with Loretta Perry this past week. Some background on Loretta Perry. That's a lawsuit that we've been involved in for the better part of 3 years. Loretta Perry is just a wonderful lady. I believe she's in her early 80s. She's been a very faithful follower of the contact and of the writings. And she got into a situation where after her husband died, they had all their property into a trust for her benefit. And almost immediately, the stepchildren stepped in and wanted their share immediately, even though they were not supposed to inherit anything until after she died. We've been fighting that in courts for the better part of 3 years. She has rigidly stuck by the information that she was receiving from the law center that she should not give an inch. The trust documents are very valid, and her investment in the Phoenix Institute was very secure, and it was a good investment when compared with any other investment that she could have made over the past 3 years. She has been receiving her monthly interest every single month. She finally had her court appearance the other day, and called EJ, I understand, about 6 o'clock in the morning, which is a no-no. I guess she didn't know that. She called EJ at 6 o'clock, and then she got a hold of Paul. Paul, would you tell us briefly, relate the conversation you have with Loretta?
Loretta said that she was very elated because she's been really concerned about this, as anybody who has to face the legal system and the justice system is, except maybe attorneys. But she said that what the judge had said, the judge, Judge Rawona, I think is her name, a woman, and it's a change of judge because it had been a prior judge who since has retired, and this new judge has come in during this time for this trial. And her stepson was representing the children I think I can say his name, Luke Perry. We've heard his name a lot, and a lot of the negative publicity that has been aimed at the Phoenix Institute was put into the press or given to the press by Luke Perry. He had a lot of these documents blown up and everything in the courtroom, and he came with these documents and kept trying to present them, and the judge kept saying, this has nothing to do with this case. When he would say something about the Phoenix Institute, has there ever been a judgment entered against the Phoenix Institute? No, there hasn't. Then you can't bring that into this case. Finally, she said, "This I'm dismissing this case with prejudice, which means that you, Luke Perry, cannot ever bring this to a court again. It's done with. The trust says that Loretta Perry has the right to do with that money whatever she wants. And if by any chance there's any left when she dies, then maybe you'll get some. But until then, you have nothing to do with it."
A victory.
Definitely a victory.
I think we'll make sure she lives long enough to use it up. We're not talking millions of dollars here. We're talking a modest amount that would allow a widow to survive, not luxuriously. And from her interest payments and her Social Security and that which she would ordinarily get, she can manage. Can you imagine legal fees and all of this to struggle for 2 years against Luke Perry, who even tried to get the laws of Nevada changed to get her money away from these awful corporations? So Loretta didn't win. We won.
We should mention, too, that throughout these last 3 years, every attorney that Loretta Perry has had, she's had at least three different attorney firms, has always told her to settle the case, give Luke Perry his half now, his interest now, settle the case. And it's the Constitutional Law Center and the people here at Phoenix have said, no, you stand on your individual rights. You do not have to give anything. And if he's going to get anything, he's going to have to wait until after you die. And we won. But that's just the first of, I visualize at least three more victories coming up during the month of December. And we're looking forward to a Supreme Court hearing in Carson City this coming Thursday. We're very well prepared for that, and we expect to win that going away. And I want to take a few moments to thank everybody for the flowers that I received. I knew I would get flowers, and sure enough, you guys were the first one to get the flowers there. Much appreciated. The cards and phone calls are very much appreciated. And the operation was pretty smooth. I really never had any pain. The only discomfort I had is coming out of the anesthesia. I must have been allergic to some of the anesthesia. And I came out of there scratching and digging myself like you couldn't believe. But as far as pain, I really haven't had much pain. I have to change positions every couple hours. I can walk around pretty well.
Gene, that's distraction therapy. You didn't notice any pain because you itch so bad. Never underestimate the good things.
And here I was giving everybody credit down here for all the good vibrations. How about that? 1996, I think, is going to be an extremely good year. We're going to teach Popper along with several other courses we're going to be teaching, and I think the CLC is going to become a very prominent entity in this United States. So just hang in, everybody, and you've hung in there so far, and we really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
I have one more little task for Gene. He's going to be sorry that he did get well, you know. I believe if we handled ourselves righteously, it seems that Jerry Spence's office is seriously considering taking Kelly Cox's case. Now, I am prepared to help Norma write and tell Mr. Spence that we certainly do appreciate the fact that he could not handle all of the cases that flow over him, but how incredibly important it is for the youth of this nation and for his own soul to become a part of some of these, what could be highly focused cases. We have an interesting thing that always happens. Dorma has to have a little confirmation as we go along, and I understand that because she's like all of you. You have to see and touch and feel and make some of these contacts, and yet she's not been at this as long as some of you. And when ones are out there calling you evil, a witch, hateful, a worker of the dark, it's hard. It's hard. I try always to allow her to get a little bit of confirmation now within just a short period of time. And this week, a precious friend sent a Christmas card, and in it a letter saying that she had been to see Jerry Spence to one of his lectures, and then he was signing books, etc., and she already had the book, so she just marched herself up there with three tapes from one of our meetings that she presented to him and said, "Mr. Spence, I have made these especially for you." "Oh, well, what are these?" He's gracious. And he had just said that he had lost his little sister. And he was just a babe. And because of the loss of the sister, the mother was on her knees and dedicated the life of Jerry Spence to God. And he said, "That's kind of a heavy trip to carry along." And she reminded him that he wasn't through carrying. And, well, what are these tapes about? "Well, they're from some people that I believe you know." And, oh, he didn't believe he did. But then when she mentioned Tehachapi, oh. So, never mind the ways and wonders in which God performs his miracles. When the time is right, the messenger's there, and the touch can be made. And now I've done all of that to suggest that Jean try another letter to Jerry Spence in behalf of Kelly Cox. And right after Rick makes sure that he has all the information, so that it comes from a different source to him. Rick had asked him to intercede in the Kelly case in Texas versus the Kerrs. And now I might say that he announces that the Kerrs are all suing for slander, all sorts of things, I guess. I guess I can't even comment. Civil rights violations for these atrocities calling themselves human. But everybody needs to make a living. So we're not here. We have to petition such as Jerry Spence to do some things without great reward. But the reward is to be had in other ways. And between a Gene Dixon and a Jerry Spence, you can drum any need of attorneys out of the field. And you can bring justice back to your system. But you've got to get rid of the judicial system that you have. And this is the way you start. You go back to the Constitution and the rights you have under constitutional law. And then you push it until they're sick of seeing you. And believe me, they're sick of seeing the Ecker-Ecker case. Well, so are the Ecker-Eckers. And when they get sick enough, they'll go to bat for themselves. But it's hard to believe your brother attorney would do you in. It's not so hard when you're on the outside looking in trying to get something done to see what they do. And there are just a lot of things that you could begin to put together and file on your own behalf with Gene's guidance. And believe it or not, you do, as citizens under the Constitution of the United States, have a right to have a non-lawyer stand with you in court. They may throw you out a few times, but that only gives you more experience in writing cases, doesn't it? Don't be afraid of them. That's what they want you to be. Be cautious, be careful, but don't be afraid of them. Because the facts are they are scared out of their witless minds over what is happening. And it can't happen soon enough to suit me. And we are pleased that you're up and around, and I am grateful that you'll be able to make that hearing. We're going to have this world know about Jean-Claude Dixon. And I don't care, Jean, if you never carry a ticket with that Bar Association. I know that it means something to you. It means setting to right a wrong. But I think it's limiting. And I believe without those limitations, we can get very, very creative. And I look forward to it. Anyone have anything profound?
Well, Commander, before we go too far past the Perry victory, wasn't that also a very significant victory for Nevada corporations, per se?
Well, they'd already thrown him out, but yes. Yes, it is. And I have suggested, and I hope that someone will follow up on this, that court, as an agent, you see, this is what they try to do with the Eckers. This is what Horn tries to do, and George Green feeds him all his information, see. Green is the great big secret witness. He's going to pull down the Eckers. Green was not even here when this was happening. He doesn't know anything. And if Dorma said she set up a lot of corporations or did something with corporations, it's now coming back that they ran 400 corporations, this sort of stuff. This is agent paperwork. Has to be done. In the paperwork processing, it has to be done, and someone needs to sign those papers. It is a transitional thing. And any idiot, pardon me, in the legal profession that doesn't know that is totally, absurdly idiotic. Much the less of George Green, who went up there with Grant Magan and started his own corporate agency. What are we talking about here? 400 corporations, 200 corporations, they signed their name to paperwork to allow a corporation its formation and transition into the owner of the corporation. They don't know who owns these corporations. As a matter of fact, Cord in his own agency doesn't even know who owns these corporations. And I want someone to remind him. I'd like him to get in touch with Lewis Laughlin, because this was hard on those agencies such as Laughlin. And these were personal friends. Personal friends. To have George Green get in there and do what he did. And Luke Perry. But it sure did sharpen everybody up. And I would hope that court would get in touch with Lewis and they'd do a little celebrating. Because the very things they tout as being valid hold. Hold. And they held in other states and in the state of Nevada, where they seem to not know a thing about their own laws. And I cannot believe that George Abbott can continue what he's doing. He's already used up all of the money that was paid back to Leon Fort and keeps running it up $5,000 and $6,000 at a whack. He just keeps filing another paper. He doesn't file them on time. He charges everybody he wants to with RICO criminal violations. Absolutely haphazard, and they don't do a thing to him. Well, we'll see. I don't know what Leon plans to do. It's awfully easy to say Eckers cost him everything. Eckers have saved him the only amount left. And now I believe that he and Rod have teamed up. I don't know. But I'll tell you, we're going to do our job. Come a lot of hell and a lot of high water, I can fly and so can you, and we won't even get our feet wet. But you have to jump in the middle of the river and struggle against these things that will come against you. But you're going to start winning now, because I'm sick of losing. And you're smart enough now. I don't need a cult. I need a team, and we've got it. And no matter when it looks like you are losing, you are not ever again anymore, anyhow. Just like the white buffalo calf grew up to be a yellowish-brown buffalo like all the others after changing its colors four times, exactly like the prophecy. Now you can't find it to kill it, or steal it, or Ted Turner buy it, or abduct it. God works his wonders. And we're going to make it. And it's going to be joyful. And I hope that you don't get behind in your lessons so that you get sick and can't enjoy the rest of this journey. You've come back to do this. And it's going to open up more and more and more to you what it is and how it is. And you're going to be able to put your tongue in both cheeks and giggle to yourself as you watch what these idiots do here on in. I thought it was interesting. An article came, and I'm sure that it will go down to Phyllis, and I hope, because I've mentioned it, Phyllis, don't fail to write on it. I love Phyllis's comments. And this is wonderful. You know, all of those non-essential people that were laid off. The park service was closed. Guess what? Your government did. Took hundreds of thousands of dollars and sent all of these non-essential people to Disney World. Disney World! To train them to be better tour guides. And so they went to SeaWorld and they did all these wonderful things at Disney World. And somehow that Mickey Mouse operation fits its name. Oh my. Let's read. Let's get on with this. Let's get back to something that's worthy of our attention.
I have a question.
Please.
Last time I was here, Commander discussed a particular issue that I saw not so much as, because I hear you when you say your questions and your interests reveal where your heart lies. And of course some of these interests that I'm looking at, admittedly, is vast amounts of precious metals, be it gold or platinum.
Well, we need it too.
And that's what I'm seeing, that those people, we're going to need gold for colloids, platinum, etc. Seems to be, my experiences have shown these people to be very real. And I've taken money to them twice, and I mean, this is piddling money. 25,000 little stinking dollars is like pocket change to the kind of levels that these people have worked on. And yet it seems I take the wrong people, I guess, because they can't see it, feel it, hear it, trust it, or whatever it takes. So the man quotes me a verse that I'm throwing pearls before swine, and indicating I might be in that group with the swine for bringing these people. Is there something I'm not knowing or pursuing in a proper way? Because I feel good about these people. Maybe you know more than I know.
Well, I'm not sure that I do. It's so hard for me to keep a finger on everything going on with each one of you. I do have some losses from our own team, as you notice. And ones most often like to leave me completely out of their loop. And I'm perfectly happy to do that. And you bring me back into the loop, and I find it a little bit awkward because you're going to find the loop or the group is small. And it's going to overlap. And so just be very careful. I can't do better than that. Just be very careful. But there is one thing that I would like to mention. And I believe that you gentlemen will know who I'm talking about. There is one who had a contact with a mining operation over in, it would be Eastern Utah. No, Eastern Nevada, I believe. And they found rhodium. When we go from titanium necks, and we need, the next thing that would be usable would be mercury. Mercury is too devastating to the form. We can convert cold fusion, convert mercury and other things into mercury steel. And we, for a long time, used that because it's a very vaporizing type of element. And that made it very easy to disperse, absolutely impenetrable as the skin of craft. We have gone far beyond that now because so much of those technologies have been taken over by your Earth aliens or working with the Earth aliens. Of all of the things that we have written, I want you, please, as a summary memory, you have to understand that a lot of our earlier journals are still tied up with George Green. So that most of you, if you didn't get the books then, it's a little bit hard to get all this information on the association of the Nazis with the aliens, with the Antarctic areas, with the Falkland Islands, with all of this period of evolvement into what I'm calling the space use age. But of all of these things, in the same octave with platinum, you're going to find rhodium